Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Just because I like you. Blackhawks Festival tickets coming up this morning. Yes, I'm going. What's the weather on Saturday? Do you know?
Yes, warm. Yes, I'm going. It's going to be beautiful day. I think temperatures in the low 80s.
It's a good day, good day to be thinking hockey.
I don't think so.
85 and sunny.
Yeah.
Any day is a good day to be thinking hockey.
Absolutely.
Coming up on a program, Nick, in a few minutes, as I mentioned, Hawks training camp tickets. A former member of this program, who is a trader, Kevin Powell, is out at the BMW at Conway Farms. Ball's in the air in about an hour. And now what time they're teeing off? 7:30?
A little early.
Or is it later than that?
Oh, no. No, 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. All right, a couple hours before balls are in the air. Kevin will be in there, on the air.
Well, they'll be at the range. There'll be balls in the air.
No, that's not allowed.
No.
They can only
okay,
chip
sorry.
There. Pat Brady, Eric Edelstein's back. Sheriff Tom Dart will be on the program today. There's a radio guy from Key West. Key West Bill. What do we know about Key West Bill?
That he's a friend of the guy that does all the cool stuff on our station with his voice.
Chris Duffy, our imaging guy. You give me a bio on Key West Bill, because, you know, radio guys, when they come on big radio stations, they like to be, you know, known, so I can talk about this guy like
that. Yeah, I put it in there. Chris called him, it's not the Spike Odell of Key West, but it's Bob Collins.
The Bob Collins of Key West.
Yeah.
Okay, all
that's
right, well, that's good.
Also, Kevin Powell's going to be our celebrity wang-dang doodle picker.
Okay, that makes sense. He's a big star. Speaking of big stars, Ryan Sandberg later.
Yeah.
And the Attorney General, Lisa Madigan, on the continuing Equifax mess and what the state of Illinois is going to do about it. At 6:12, top six time.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six.
American
Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
The president will arrive in Florida shortly to examine the devastation of Hurricane Irma overnight last night. Well, yesterday afternoon, really. A horrible development in Hollywood, Florida, where 8 senior citizens died in an assisted living facility. The initial cause of the death is believed to be related to heat and dehydration after their air conditioning and cooling units went out in the place.
Right.
The obvious question here is, if you have enough staff, why wouldn't you be checking on all of the patients? Why wouldn't you be making sure they were hydrated? Why wouldn't you make sure they had water? And supposedly this particular facility is located directly across the street from a hospital. And why wouldn't those people be evac to the hospital immediately? So these are the questions that are being asked, or fair questions are being to be asked, because 8 people died.
Yeah, and the staff did, they said they set up mobile cooling units and fans to try to cool the facility, but they lost horribly the transformer that powers the air conditioning, as you said. It's just awful.
I just don't understand that. Listen, God bless every one of you that work in facilities like this. My mother was in a full-time nursing home at the end of her life.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. I can't imagine how tough your job is, and I feel for every one of you, but this is not a new question. Do we pay and train these people who work in these facilities enough to do the job, and are they staffed at a level that's appropriate to do the job? I've been in them. I've been in these facilities, and they're very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
People at the end of their lives, or in the final few, quarter of their lives, they're unhappy. They're unhappy in most cases. They're not happy to be living. Now, there's exceptions to that all the time, obviously. And Mary Vandeveld, it sounds like your mom's in a pretty good situation where she lives.
Yes, she is. I mean, it's Brookdale. It's a nice place. You know, they check every morning, actually. They have to check in They have like a little buzzer that they have to buzz in so that everybody knows they're okay.
Yeah, and I'm telling you right now that the gross generalizations that we all make, in this case, I think they're true. And that is the vast majority of these places are run well with the best of intent. But there are a few that aren't. And you can't have eight people die in the midst of a tragedy like this, travesty like this, and not ask these sorts of questions. So that's what's being asked this morning. And rightfully so. Next. What happened? President Trump is cranking up the Twitter machine this morning. Andre, I'm going to have you read the tweets for me in just a second.
Okay.
But a deal on the Dreamers. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, two of the more abhorrent people in Washington, couldn't wait to do a touchdown dance when they left dinner last night. I'm not sure they even paid their check, but they ran to the car, got the valet guy at the White House to pull up their vehicle, and started tweeting about how they'd struck a deal with Donald Trump after a, quote, very productive dinner. Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi said the deal would finalize border security measures that would not include the border wall, but would protect Dreamers, DACA recipients at this point. President Trump and the White House are pushing back this morning, and we'll get Adelstein and Brady's opinion on this a little bit later as well. Are you on the Twitter machine?
I am on the Twitter machine.
Starting in the last hour, what did Trump tweet?
First tweet this morning, no deal was made last night on DACA. Massive border security would have to be agreed to in exchange for consent, would be subject to vote. 4 minutes
That's
later.
True. That's
yes,
true.
4 minutes later. The wall, all caps, which is already under construction in the form of new renovation of old and existing fences and walls, will continue to be built.
All right. Let's stop there for a second. That's not what you promised. What you promised your 10 to 13% of diehard far-right righties who are really angry this morning, that you would build a big, beautiful wall. Your words, not mine, not anybody else's. You would build a big, beautiful wall. You'd not patch the wall that's up now, because it's not really a wall. It's a fence, and it's a wall in a couple of spots. So those are two very different things. And third tweet?
Third one. Does anybody really want to throw out good, educated, and accomplished young people who have jobs, some serving in the military? Really? Exclamation point, dot, dot, dot.
He's right about that. 88% of America says they don't want to throw these kids out. And?
They have been in our country for many years through no fault of their own, brought in by parents at young age, plus big border security.
Okay. I don't know what big in capital letters border security is going to mean, and frankly, neither does he. But in the last 2 weeks, Trump has gotten more done by talking to the Democrats than he has with McConnell and Ryan in 9 months. So the Republicans have nobody but to blame for this but themselves. But Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are right on the verge of screwing up their own party.
Boy.
Because they couldn't wait to high-five each other and celebrate on Twitter.
Yeah, can I interject something here, just
sure.
Listening to this? The statement that was released, there was actually a printed statement, in addition to some tweets from the two leaders. This is what their words were, that tonight Leader Schumer and I had a productive meeting with President Trump, where we agreed to plan to work out an agreement to protect our nation's dreamers from deportation. So it was, we agreed to a plan to work out an agreement.
Statements where they did their touchdown dance?
I don't know. This is actually the printed statement from Pelosi.
Yeah, well, go back and look at their Twitter feeds, will you? Just check their Twitter feeds out, Schumer and Pelosi, and see what happened. Because if I'm wrong about this, I'd like you to correct me. But I believe the touchdown dance started. And I could be biased. I don't like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Mm-hmm. But if Trump is going to make deals with people, I don't know if you heard he's a deal maker. If Trump is going to make deals with people for the betterment of the country, I don't care if they're Republicans, Democrats, or Martians, make the deals. And the fact is, in the last 2 weeks, the government stayed open. And now this DACA Dreamers thing could be moving forward in a positive way. And the border wall, which this is a funny thing about Trump, one of the many. But he likes to tout the fact that the illegal immigration numbers from Mexico have dropped since he's been in office. Well, there's no wall.
Well, correct.
So why do we need a wall now? Why would we spend $50 billion on a wall that we don't need because everything's going so great, in your words?
Everything's going better than
he thought.
So
you can't have it both ways. So Trump deserves credit for being the president who is sitting down with people across the aisle. Now, frankly, he's a Democrat, so he should be more comfortable there. But the Republicans, who have done nothing, can't just sit there and whine. And all morning long, Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham and others, you know, tweeting, this is it. Breitbart, you know, Bannon's on 60 Minutes the other night talking about how he'll always have the president's back. Basically, they're calling him a traitor on Breitbart this morning. Steve King from Iowa. Oh, the level-headed Steve King is upset. Do you really care?
No.
Do you care in the big picture about the greater, you know, a good of this country if Steve King is upset? Come on. Next. Dueling health care proposals. Get our banjos out for dueling health care proposals. By the Democrats and Republicans, one thing in common, neither is going to get done anytime soon. Next. Oh, what a shock this is. The vote to repeal the Cook County soda tax was delayed a month.
Yes. Mm. Yes. So you know what that means?
More ads.
More mailers, more radio ads, more TV commercials to aim to sway public opinion on the issue. Let me tell you, Steve, it's 85% of people now opposed to it. I would guarantee that number has gone up.
We appreciate
in the past 48 hours.
We appreciate the business, but it's a complete political cop-out.
October 10th.
Next. Chris Kennedy picked a running mate. We expect him to be on with us tomorrow. He's a government reform activist. What is his name?
Ra Joy.
Been on the show, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. Very much indeed.
Lost his son to Chicago gun violence?
Yes, he's very well-spoken. I don't know if this is the best choice considering, you know, he has to consider all the entire state of Illinois.
Best political choice.
Correct, yeah, and a down state. Because Ra Joy is very well-spoken. He's a great person. I don't want to call him a politician. But, you know, you have to consider downstate as well. And I don't know if he can connect with the downstate voters. Perhaps he can. I guess we'll see.
And we'll talk to Adelson about that later. And one more. Let's go live to Cleveland, where Dave Ennett is standing by outside Petco Park. No. Where are they? Are the Indians
that would
home?
Be Progressive or? Field.
Are they home or are they on road? I don't even know where Cleveland
they're home.
Is.
They're home.
And did the Indians win last night?
The Indians actually... They won yesterday afternoon.
Let's go live to Dave Ennett, where it's Wednesday afternoon, and he's outside Progressive Field in Cleveland. And did they win yesterday?
Yes, they did win.
This is new information.
5-3 over the Detroit Tigers. You want to hear your guy call it?
Yeah.
You want to hear? Okay, here it is. Here. Okay.
Swings at the first pitch and a line drive to left field. Caught by Lonnie Chisenhall. It's over. Set a new record for the longest win streak in American League history.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
That was not Tom Hamilton. But anyway, the Indians won. They'll go for 22 in a row tonight. The amazing numbers on this thing, among the many, they have outscored their opponents by 104 runs.
That's pretty good.
During this winning streak. The Indians have hit 40 home runs. That's more runs, total runs, than their pitchers have allowed.
How about that?
Pretty good.
You know what this reminds me of, and it's a little early for this because their run did not start quite this early, is the 05 White Sox. They started winning in the last month of the season. They didn't lose. They just kept rolling. And momentum matters when you get into the playoffs. Now, we still got a few weeks to go here. Mm-hmm. But having said that, they're in pretty good shape. And you win like this, and you keep winning like this, and you stay healthy, it's tough to knock these guys out.
Well, they were kind of like the Cubs. They were scuffling along, and now they've overtaken.
Caught fire.
They've overtaken Houston. They're only four games behind the Dodgers for best record.
How about that?
In the majors, which, of course, is significant because that's what will determine home field for the World Series this year.
Cubs, two touchdowns and a field goal yesterday, and a win over the Mets. And Dave will have details on that coming up.
Steve, can I just go back to
our
top story?
Yes, did you tweet it up?
I went to both of the official Twitter accounts of Schumer and Pelosi. Neither of them tweeted about anything about a meeting with the president last night.
All right, so I will temporarily rescind my comments. They did a touchdown dance. They did more of a touchdown high five. But having said that, I still don't like them. I'm standing firm on that. It is. Thank you, Steve. 6:24. Yes?
Can I come back from Cleveland now?
Oh, yeah, you should come
back. Okay.
Yeah. That's Dave Ennett, formerly live in Cleveland. The Selena Gomez thing, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
She had a kidney transplant?
Yeah, ABC News just confirming that over the summer, Selena Gomez had a kidney transplant.
Did you know she was sick?
No. She's battled lupus most of her life.
Yeah, but I didn't know that would cost you a kidney.
No, it's a really long, involved story, which we will talk about. But her donor... Her best friend from childhood.
Wow.
So she's doing very well.
How about that? I guess you wouldn't go, hey, are you ever going to give me back my curling iron?
not anymore. Not
free pass now.
What to see, what's out at the show. I need to know the place and where.
Nick DiGilio from the Nick DiGilio Show. That's right. Right, I got that part right, didn't I?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Doing fine. Mother with an exclamation point. Is that an insult or a movie?
Well, from what I understand, it's a traumatizing movie. This is Darren Aronofsky's latest movie. It stars Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem, and they play this couple that lives in this remote, beautiful big house in the middle of nowhere. And suddenly a stranger comes into their house, played by Ed Harris, followed by another stranger, played by Michelle Pfeiffer. And then basically all hell breaks loose.
All right, why did they let Ed Harris and Michelle Pfeiffer in? Ed Harris, well, have they never seen an Ed Harris movie? You don't just let Ed Harris in.
No, you don't. And from what I understand, people who have seen this, they screened it at a couple of festivals, and I've got my friend Eric Childress doing live reports from Toronto. He said it is one of the craziest, most insane, and traumatizing movies that he's ever seen in his life.
Wow.
Yeah, and I can't. I mean, this is the one that I'm waiting for. This is supposed to be completely over-the-top, insane psychological horror movie that put Jennifer Lawrence through her paces. In fact, during the making of the movie, she actually tore her diaphragm because she was hyperventilating so badly.
Wow.
And, and had to have oxygen a few times after takes. And now she's dating the director. So there you go.
Yeah, well, you know, you get close to people at work. Things happen, I suppose.
Yeah,
American Assassin, what is that?
This is the new Michael Keaton thriller, which stars, he plays like a master Cold War veteran black ops guy who trains a new recruit played by Dylan O'Brien, whose girlfriend was killed by terrorists, so now he wants revenge. And they end up getting a new assignment to go after a terrorist cell based on a New York Times national huge bestseller that I know people have read who have loved. Seen the trailer for it. I'm going to see it over the weekend. And Michael Keaton, who I just think Michael Keaton is the best,
he's
man.
Great.
I will watch him.
He's, great.
He's the best. And here he plays a total badass operative who, you know, has tons of kills under his belt. And he takes this new guy under his wing and then they go and kill people. That's basically what it is.
Not exactly as a movie where he dresses up in a bird suit.
No, not at all. Yeah.
Rebel in the Rye.
Rebel in the Rye is a J.D. Salinger biography. It's about his, after Catcher in the Rye becomes, you know, the big book that it became. As everybody knows, you know, J.D. Salinger spent the rest of his life as a recluse, barely going out. Nicholas Holt plays Salinger. Kevin Spacey's in it. Zoe Deutsch is in it. I hear it's really good. And, you know, Catcher in the Rye is one of my favorite books of all time. And Salinger, you know, amazing writer. So I hope they do it. I hope they do it justice. Did you know, by the way, Steve, that at one point J.D. Salinger dated Elaine Joyce?
Really?
True story.
How bizarre is that?
Here's how it happened. Okay, he's sitting at home. This is just picture this. J.D. Salinger is watching Match Game. He sees Elaine Joyce on Match Game. He likes her. He calls CBS, and he says, can you put me in contact with Elaine Joyce? They're like, who are you? J.D. Salinger. And so they put him in contact with J.D. Salinger. Now, how great is the opening line that you have to get Elaine Joyce by just saying, hey, how you doing? I wrote Catcher in the Rye. Want a date?
Yeah, I mean, she was for people don't remember the name, she was a very successful actress, not a, you know, the ultimate A-lister, but she worked all the time, and she became the really cute blonde on Match Game that they kept bringing back. And,
yeah, she was, of course,
Gene Rayburn brought more couples together than anybody. What?
You know, she was married to Bobby Vann, and then
yeah.
Bobby Vann passed away.
Right.
Passed away, and then Salinger moved in.
so bizarre.
It's so weird. I'm just amazed. J.D. Salinger watched Match Game.
Yeah.
I just...
Well, you're sitting around the house all the time. How many times are you going to read Catcher in the Rye? Come on. Nick's next movie film club screening is for his favorite holiday of the year. John Carpenter's Halloween, doing it Tuesday night, October 4th at the AMC Rosemont 18. But don't wait to get tickets. Get them now, right?
Get them now. AMCtheaters.com. This is the seminal movie, the movie that changed my life. You know, I mean, it made me, as soon as I saw Halloween, I realized what a director did. I knew that whatever I did with my career, I wanted it to have something to do with movies. It's literally the movie that changed my life.
And Nick spends a lot of time in dark rooms, so you don't have to. So this is a movie that you can enjoy together. All right, buddy, hold the line if you would. That's Nick. We're back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Under budget, ahead of schedule.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Where essentially I'm the president.
On Chicago's very own.
I love Chicago. I know Chicago.
No,
720 WGN.
You may remember there was a woman downstate in charge of a small town's finances who ended up taking millions of dollars while people looked away. I think I may have found her a roommate. An Arkansas woman in the news this morning, she worked as an administrative official. She admits to using public money, $200,000, to buy jewelry, sports tickets, throw pillows, and a tuxedo for her dog.
Oh, my God.
Your government.
Wow.
And this may be my favorite story of the morning, and nobody else is going to have the guts to report it. Russia is fighting back against the United States. And these allegations, these horrible allegations that Russia could be up to anything. They've canceled some parking spots at U.S. consulates in Russia. You start taking away parking, that's when you know it's serious.
No, so they have to circle the block now and find something that's not zoned?
Get in here. We've got to talk.
Snow zone.
I can't find a spot. You should have Uber-skied.
Uber-skied.
Jimmy Kimmel was on with Sean Spicer last night. The Spicy Spicerman was on with Kimmel. Let's start here. Alternative facts. Spicy, your thoughts.
The majority of journalists are decent people who are looking to get the truth and to write the truth.
I think probably the majority.
Yeah.
There are a lot that have now, you know, I always like to say that they'd rather be first than right. And I think that's unfortunate because it gives a bad name to those who actually do take the time to do it right.
There is a lot of that. People want to just get
right. And, and it's also, there's a line between, and this is where a lot of journalists have crossed the line, which is they go on Twitter or another social media and start to perpetuate myths or make back and forth and say, well, that's not a story.
Wait
that's
a minute.
A tweet.
The journalists go on Twitter and perpetuate myths? How about the president?
Well, but yeah.
Yeah, but. More Spicer on Kimmel, more fake news.
Do you think that is a dangerous thing to delegitimize the press for America?
Look, I think it's a two-way street. And when these guys in the press corps go after the president in ways that are unbecoming. And again, it's sort of like what your mom said, two wrongs don't make a right. And so I think sometimes when the press corps attacks the president, undermines him, or calls into question his credibility from the outset, I think it creates a very poor relationship overall. And I think that there is some area that could deserve a reset. And hopefully, I think Sarah's done a phenomenal job of really trying to take the tone down and get back.
So when you say there were two wrongs, you mean Donald Trump, the president,
there were times,
was wrong?
But no, I didn't say that. But what? What I'm saying,
Sean, you don't work there anymore. You don't have to worry about him. We can protect you here.
Yeah.
I got the best security guy in the world. I mean, look at that.
Now it's a fair point. Right. It is a fair point. What is Sean Spicer should come out and say? Hey. I was just doing my job.
Yeah.
You know I was lying. I know I was lying. I'm just trying to get back to my life. I was crazy for a few months. Hey, it happens. The worst thing he could do is go out on a public tour now and defend the nonsense that went on.
Completely. And good for Kimmel for saying. He said,
yeah,
two wrongs
absolutely.
Don't make a right.
Later, Spicy on Scaramucci. We'll come back with that. Let's get traffic here. And then I'm going to give you some festival tickets. Who wants to go to the festival? Saturday, Blackhawks Festival. You guys can't win.
I want to go.
No, buy your tickets. We'll give those away to the listeners coming up on 720 WGN. All right, so we have Blackhawks Festival tickets, a pair of tickets to the Chicago Blackhawks Training Camp Festival this Saturday, September 16th at the United Center. Outdoor Festival starts at 8 in the morning. Lou Manfredini will be there even before that with live music, appearances from Blackhawks alumni, live broadcast, not just of Lou, but John Williams afterwards. And we have tickets available now. You want to go away both pair now or just one? What do you think? Just one? You sure? Here's Dave with a question you have to answer. First correct caller at 312-981-7200. Dave.
Okay, a Blackhawks number retired represents two Blackhawks players. What's the number and who are the two players the retired number represents?
They've retired a number. It represents two different players. What's the number? Who are the players? The number is pi. 3.14141414141414. 312-981-7200 is the number. First correct caller can tell us the number and the two players wins the festival tickets. It's a festival! And we're back with the news next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Come on!
Trying to get Kevin to call in sick to the Rokan show and go play golf. Lie his way out of work for a day or two. He's too dedicated. He won't do it. But he will cover golf. And he's live at Conway Farms in Lake Forest this morning for round one of the BMW. Good morning, reporter Paul.
Good morning. The second best thing than playing golf is being at Conway Farms. I absolutely love it here. And we're about an hour and a half away from the first group teeing off.
Balls in the air at 9:30, I'm told?
9 o'clock.
Let me go back to you. 9 o'clock, Dave?
9 o'clock, Steve.
Well, that's an hour and 48 minutes, just to be exact. Who's first off?
It is Sung Kang, Lucas Glover, and Zach Johnson, the 2013 winner.
What was the first player?
Sung Kang.
Oh, Sung Kang. I don't know Sung Kang.
He is...
He's the son of two people named Kang. All right, so there is a beautiful morning, and I would assume some guys are already on the range. Who's out there hitting?
I haven't been by the range. There's a heavy, heavy fog right now sitting over Conway Farms. It's absolutely gorgeous here, but a heavy fog right now.
Fog preventing people from hitting range balls?
I'm not sure. I'm not anywhere near the driving range. I will take a stroll over there for you, though.
Where are you? Aren't you at Conway? Where would the action be at this point? The only action would be at the driving range. What are you doing?
That's a good point. I am in the press area right now along the 8th.
The press area getting free food from the press tent.
No, he wouldn't do that.
It's outrageous. What did Roe shoot yesterday? Do we know?
I'm not sure. I know he was playing with Ryan Moore. I'm not sure how they... how they fared. I'm sure we'll hear more about it.
See, this is why there's problems on the Rokan show that we really can't discuss publicly, and I wouldn't bring them up. but when I play in the Pro-Am, Kevin would text me, go, hey, how'd you play? What'd you shoot? You know, and we'd have a text festival for, you know, a while, text back and forth.
A minute or two, yeah.
But Ro doesn't have a text relationship with Kevin because he doesn't want Kevin even to look him directly in the eyes.
Kevin doesn't have Ro's number, I don't even think. No. Right,
Kevin asked Ro.
I call his people,
number.
And his people connect me. Yeah.
If Kevin wants to get a message to Ro, he has to call Anna to text him.
It sends the raven out.
By the way, that's during the show. No, I'm kidding, of course. All right, so you're going to go to the range, and you're going to wander around the facilities. You're going to stir up some trouble, and you're going to report back. Is there a crowd out there yet?
No crowd. Gates open at 8 o'clock, so I haven't seen a crowd yet. But in about 45 minutes, gates will be opening. I'll wander over to the range, Steve, and maybe share a few tips with guys like Sergio and Dustin Johnson. Yep. Maybe they can use a little help from me.
Yep. Tell them about how you're playing regular shaft. See what they think of that.
I don't even want to go there with these guys. Yeah, I'll get some dirty looks. But, 10:30, the grouping everybody's looking forward to, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, and Dustin Johnson all playing together today.
Wow,
that should
a good
be
turn.
Fun to watch.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Sergio's in the fourth group. Today.
Who's he playing with?
He's
Phil
playing
Mickelson,
Charles Howell and, Phil Mickelson.
Okay. Well, that's good. So you've made some progress. You've got a pairing sheet since we started this conversation.
That's why I came to the press area, to get the grouping sheet, Steve. That's what you get here. So I got that for you.
Okay, good.
Anybody coming today, by the way, they have all sorts of complimentary shuttles parking nearby. You can park at Six Flags. They have shuttles from both metro stations in Lake Forest as well.
Pat Brady is a friend of yours as well. Pat's here on the show this morning, as you would guess. Pat, do you have any questions for Kevin?
Kevin, did you bring your spikes and your clubs? You know, because somebody might pull a hammy. They might need somebody to step
great
in.
Great point.
You're 71, right?
That's a good question. And I offered a caddy, because it seems like all the top golfers are changing caddies these days. So I figured, I'd lend a hand. I haven't been I've been turned away from everybody I've offered that to so far.
If you go in the pro shop, everything's free till 7:20.
Oh, so, beautiful.
Yeah, see,
and just mention your name. And
charge it to Roe.
Yeah, just mention my name. So.
Okay.
All right. Do your thing where you say you're reporting live from there.
Reporting live from the BMW Championship at Conway Farm.
Yeah, we're out of time. It's 7:15.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We will immediately terminate President Obama's two illegal executive amnesties in which he defied federal law and the Constitution to give amnesty to approximately 5 million illegal immigrants.
It's a very, very tough subject. We are going to deal with DACA with heart. We're always talking about dreamers for other people. I want the children that are growing up in the United States to be dreamers also. They're not dreaming right now.
Now we're supposed to send them out of the country? I don't believe in that. This isn't conservative. I'm the world's most conservative person. This isn't conservative. This is compassion.
You know, it's not easy for me to say positive things about this president, but when he does things that are worthy of that, I think it should be recognized. Last night, he had some gazpacho with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer.
What was on the menu?
Well, I don't know. He's more of a cold soup guy in my world. By the time Pelosi and Schumer got to the car, they were tweeting out joint statements saying that the world was a better place because the Dreamers would be staying, and an agreement would be formalized soon. And border security was the exchange, which, of course, everybody wants better border security. That should be an obvious. But no wall was included in the discussion. Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein are here. Good morning to you both. Nice to see you, Eric. It's been a couple of weeks. I know you've been on the road. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. Thanks for having me back. Yeah.
And, well, you're always welcome here. Doesn't have to just be on Thursdays. And your company's name is?
AL Media.
And Pat, you still have a company as well, don't you?
I do.
No matter how late you stay up at night?
Next Generation Strategies. Thank you. Boy, you are cranky today,
young man. I'm not cranky at all.
Not at all.
I feel great. I got some quality Abigail Grace time coming in the next couple of days. So, yeah, nothing but good news for me.
That's good.
All right, so what do you make of Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi doing a touchdown dance and maybe screwing up the deal before it even gets rolling because Trump's been cranking out the tweets this morning?
Yeah, I mean, I think they probably did a smart thing. I don't think their comments screw up the deal because I think they probably walked out of there and said, this guy will change his mind in 10 seconds because he seems to have this pattern that the last person he talks to is the position he lands on. And so,
do you remember the Woody Allen movie Zelig?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Zelig was Woody Allen would come into a room and he would automatically assume the characters and physical manifestations of the people in the room.
Yeah. Yeah,
Trump's like Zelig with orange
Zelig with orange hair. Yeah, he sort of mirrors who's ever there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's a pleaser. He likes to please. You know, I think that I'm hopeful. Putting all joking aside, this is a horrible thing to rescind the DACA executive orders. Whether Congress does it or the executive branch does it, something needs to get done. It's an anti-American. It goes against what this country stands for, and to punish these kids, I think is one of the most mean-spirited things you could do.
Pat, your thoughts?
I think it's interesting. I spoke to some members of Congress yesterday that were talking about Republicans talking about this, and one of them said to me, "This is the only person in the world that could get away with this. President in the world get away with this is Trump, because no matter what he does, he keeps his 35% or 30% that support him." And those members in that district that might actually, when they actually vote on this, that go with the president can always say, hey, I did it because the president wanted me to do it. It's not something I came up with my own. So for getting things done, I think it's great. And I think a lot of Republicans are going to be covered no matter what happens because these people that support Trump aren't going to ever give up on Trump, no matter what he does.
Well, there's a poll that came out.
Steve King, the congressman.
Well, this is where I'm going. Yeah. There was a poll that came out in the last few days that said 88% of America don't want these kids thrown out, which is ought to be obvious to most people. So the obvious assumption here would be, why would you feel you have to appeal to the 12% who own Breitbart or have the Laura Ingraham show? or the Sean Hannity show, because they're all very upset this morning.
But it's a bigger issue than that. To me, it's the debt limit, and now that we're going to talking on the tax reform and things that he, and I think it's great he's finally reached across the island.
Yeah, and he's got, that's the point. He's got momentum now because he's got two or three deals done in a row. So when will the Republican Party wake up and go, we got to get somewhere on the positive page here? Because I know the concerns about we're going to get primaried, we're going to lose that. Well, guess what? You're going to lose the House if this continues.
Well, I think that he's been smart to go talk to Democrats because the middle is where things are going to get done. And these 25 do-nothing members of Congress, the Freedom Caucus, are irrelevant. If he gets enough Democrats, he doesn't need those people.
And the fact of the matter, I don't believe Donald Trump has an ounce of strategy in him when it comes to politics. Nothing. I believe he wants a win. And I believe he'll do whatever it takes to get a win and get credit for a win so he can tweet that out. Having said that, the last 2 weeks have been good developments for this country and are moving this country in a positive direction. And frankly, it's the only 2 weeks we can say that of since he was inaugurated.
The thing is, there might be a tipping point, and I've seen it before. I've watched McCain's campaign blow up in 2008. The border security issue is a huge issue in states like Iowa. So I'm not sure if that guy, if you have a guy like Steve King screaming that the president just sold us out, that might be a tipping point. But, all the things he did in the campaign, including that Access Hollywood tape, nothing seemed to hurt him.
It seems like, Steve, he operates out of who he can stick it to in the morning. He wakes up and he says, I'm mad at Democrats. I want to hurt them. He wakes up, he says, I'm pissed at McConnell and I'm pissed at Ryan and I'm going to stick it to them. I mean,
yeah, there's no reason to believe that this is a pattern that's going to stick because no. McConnell and Ryan could manipulate their way back into his good graces anytime
right.
they want.
Right. So look, the process, I guess, in theory matters less than the outcome. And if the outcome protects millions of these kids, that's a good
That
outcome.
Should be the number one
if
thing.
If we get a tax deal, too, great.
You know, yeah, a tax deal, and the government stays open, and these are all positive
but I
things.
Just, I have no, and I think the reason you saw Pelosi and Schumer run out and tweet that is they have no confidence that this will stick. I mean, again, this guy, his word means nothing.
So your point is they ran out. They weren't high-fiving and touchdown dancing. They were trying to get something out in the public to pressure Trump to assure that the deal would move forward.
Because he likes the good press. That's all he talked about after the press. It was a great day at press.
Right, and he figured as soon as he ran back and told Kelly or whoever wasn't in the meeting that, I cut this deal with them, that the place would go nuts and it would get undone.
And, as a conservative, this will be great. We're going to get single-payer health care. It's all going to be – wait a minute. We're not getting – the thing is – the 25 do-nothings are we're getting nothing for any of this. So
this will lead us into the next segment. And also, happy to see Sheriff Tom Darnold in the studio. He'll join us in just a couple of minutes.
Somebody got a bond hearing?
Yes, me. But there is pressure being brought to bear over the children. General Michael Flynn's son is on the hot seat this morning. Jared Kushner is in the crosshairs again in a louder way. With Robert Mueller, the question comes that at some point is going to come down to, I think, once Mueller's paperwork is complete, how much is are Michael Flynn and Donald Trump willing to take heat for their kids? Because if Sheriff Tom Dart walks in and says, "I got this, and we're going to put your son in jail, or you could resign," then I think something something along those lines could well happen. But again. Michael Flynn's character might be a question here. Donald Trump's character might be a question here. Well, it's automatic for a lot of us to go, well, I'd do anything for my kid, no matter how old they are. I'm not sure these two do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure Steve Cochran or Sheriff Dart or Brady or even myself would step up in the case of protecting our
step
kids.
Up and step down so your kid doesn't go to jail.
These guys, I don't know.
I don't know if it happens.
Where their motivation comes from. I really don't.
So, and you're the prosecutor, former prosecutor.
So is Tom.
Yeah, I understand, but he's not on the show yet. So what? Am I crazy with that? Is that a TV movie of the week, a Law and Order scenario, or isn't that how it could happen?
I'm not sure if that happens because I thought the Russia investigation is too far of a reach and too complicated. I think the one they're going to be going to him and go, we're going to indict you for obstruction. I think that's the stronger case.
Well, I tell you, I keep hearing now, I'm hearing louder noise about Kushner again.
Well, all those people around.
You might remember this little story where Kushner wanted to hang out in the Russian embassy and make phone calls.
Yeah, but you're gonna have to tie some huge conspiracy, and it's too complicated.
Can I ask this question though, just procedurally, logistically, with the Justice Department, technically doing this investigation, is there really a point? I mean, I thought indictments get sealed in this kind of thing. Is it really the kind of thing where they could say we're going to indict if you don't
Sure.
Step down.
Yeah, you get a target letter.
You can do that.
You get a target. You go, hey, we're going to indict you unless this. And then you can do proffer, you know, do proffers with those people. This is what you're going to say, clean for a day.
Is that a letter from Target?
Yeah, it says Target.
Includes like a discount coupon?
Yeah, you get a coupon, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But no, you get so notified.
You resign the presidency and you get a gift card?
Yeah. But you know what's going on the whole way, pretty much the whole way through.
Hey. But isn't every, from a prosecutor's standpoint, isn't every case of significance based on leverage?
And
as far as getting what you ultimately want.
It's better if you have a cooperator, but these are paper cases to a great extent, or email cases. So you can build very significant cases without cooperators. Does it help? Absolutely. It's always better to flip somebody below the target.
Okay.
Because they can corroborate and explain. It's better, but not every case. I did some pretty big bank fraud cases. We didn't have any cooperators.
Coming up, Pat Brady reads live excerpts from the Hillary Clinton book. Before we get to that, though, let's get to the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:42, Andrea is monitoring the Trump Twitter machine. I'll let you know if there's any breaking tweets. Sheriff Tom Darts here, your Cook County Sheriff. He's been a guest on the show many times. Your time is always appreciated. Nice to see you in studio. How are you?
Doing wonderful, and I can't thank you enough for setting this up today so that we can finally execute that warrant on Mr. Brady that we've been trying to do for years now.
I think it's fair. You serve him in public.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I got the kids off to school. New school year underway?
Yes. Just dropped my son off, and he is there, and the girls are probably just entering school right now in a very, very happy mood, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Nothing like your kids are how old now?
Third grade, fifth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, and a junior in high school.
Yeah, okay, get a hobby. Eric Adelstein and Pat Brady are here as well. All right, let's start with a story that broke this week, and I know you took action on this yesterday. The CPS schools issue with teachers or principals coming into Cook County Jail to work with your inmates. What happened?
You know, it's something where we had reached out to the Inspector General, I think about a year ago, and we had gotten some information about it not being done correctly. This had been on my radar screen for a while, I mean, about like 7 or 8 years, Steve, because I kept getting all sorts of really, you know, interesting, to put it lightly, information about what was going on. And some of it was more procedural. I kept thinking to myself that the amount of money that's being spent there, there should be a more thoughtful way, because many of these guys are leaving my custody, going right back to the community, as opposed to a lot of this focus in a more like structured environment. Let's think of something different, like a bridge type of program, and let's get them so that they
That's what halfway houses are for, too.
Yeah, and just sort of work it more in a different model, you know, than just a structured setting. So we were trying to look into it forever, got very little information, and I kept telling people in my office, I said, listen, how in God's name could I ever explain to the public that I have a school on the grounds and I can't even figure out what's going on at the place because it's not run by me. It's run by CPS.
So is it CPS red tape that gets in the way of figuring all that out? Or?
Yeah. And, you know, more along the lines of it's not my business. That's, you know, CPS's role. That's their school. That's not my business to run it. But it's like on my compound. And so about a year ago, we were inquiring about different things that we had heard back about, you know, things that weren't making sense. We talked to their inspector general. He started an investigation, and it divulged stuff. I'd be lying to you if I said I knew this was going on. I didn't know what was going on. What I did know is that some of the stuff just did not make sense. And
well, you had a sense that what was going on was not what you wanted to have happen.
No. And I have no delusion, Steve, that these are all little choir boys and they're great and they have all their pencils sharpened and ready for learning. It's a difficult, difficult job. And the teachers, I've met a few of them over there, great people, really difficult job. But that being said, I think there should be a whole different structure in what we're doing and how we're doing it there. And it's naive to sit there and think that, you know, these teachers can pull off this miracle given what is going on here.
But the transition is important. And it's important that we try to, you know, get the recidivism rate as low as possible and getting an education before they get back in the street or a path. You know, you turn a kid on to learning who's gone through some serious troubles. Maybe they're more interested in learning when they get out. It's logic.
Yeah, you know, logic. And, you know, part of the problem is that the world hasn't adjusted to the reality. Jails were always supposed to be just this place where people sit there for a month, 6 months, wait on their trial, and then off they go. Well, I have people waiting in my jail 8-9 years for their trial. And so as a result of that, combining with the fact that 80% of the people that come into the jail go straight from the jail to the community. Jails have to, and we have to adapt and say, okay, listen, while we have these people, we're having them for a longer period of time, A, and most of them are going right back to communities that don't, they have a lot of issues. We got to do something more than just hold them, feed them, get them back and forth to court. We got to start trying to change behavior, give them educational tools. We do a lot of job training now more than ever before. But most jails are still doing the basics because they haven't adjusted to the realities.
The CBS principal in particular, I think you banned from the facility, right?
Yeah, so I believe she won't be coming back on the compound anymore. That's one right. thing we are pretty good at. We can keep people from coming in.
And hopefully keep people from leaving.
We're relatively good on that,
considering
lately.
The business model.
Yeah.
Going forward with this, you're not giving up on educating, especially younger inmates. It's just got to be done in a manner that's appropriate.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because I've had, I don't know how many meetings with Paul Vallis to come up with some outside-the-box ideas. I met with Ron Huberman when he was head of there, too. And it seems like everyone I meet with, right after I meet them, their life changes. Huberman, right after I met with him, he got a different job. Right after I meet with Paul Vallis, he goes over to Chicago State University. But it was with this notion. It's like, guys, come on. This model doesn't work. And it's quite an expensive model, too. Let's do it differently.
Do it right. Sheriff Tom Dart has agreed to be a part of the Lincoln Forum, right?
Yeah, week from Thursday, 21st, 5:30 at the Chicago Athletic Association. He's our inaugural speaker.
And Eric Edelstein, you're involved in this as well. How'd you guys decide on Sheriff Dart first?
Well, Pat told me Dart was coming, and I said, I'm glad we discussed it. No.
I believe everyone else said no.
So the partnership is flawless? Is
yeah,
that your point?
It's like, you know, a marriage. I'm glad we discussed it. No, it was great. We're very excited to have the sheriff. We're excited to do the program, and it's going to be a bit of an experiment, but I think it's the response I've gotten from folks saying, hey, this is really exciting. Chicago, Illinois really needs this. Some bipartisan debate, discussion that isn't a scream fest.
Or just so, a monologue, or just someone monologuing and putting people to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Something that's a little more interesting, engages people. And look, I was saying to the sheriff off air, you know, around the country and in Illinois, particularly on the Democratic side, we're seeing more energy, more people involved in politics, more people getting out. Now, right. you know, that maybe that's a corollary to Trump. I think a lot of it is. But let's turn that energy into something positive, whether you're Democrat or Republican. Get people out. Have them engage in these issues. Have them understand that this country is not a guarantee. We got to all work for it. And, you know, come out and participate and be part of the thing. So I'm excited to be doing it.
And again, where and when, Pat?
Chicago Athletic Association, LincolnForum.org. For tickets, but come on out. We think it's going to be great. And Tom has been a long time friend, and he's one of the guys that works on both sides of the aisles, and he's a true reformer.
Yeah. So I think we're happy to have him. I just would make this point. I mean, the issues that the sheriff is working on, unbelievably salient across the aisle, criminal justice reform.
Yeah, there's no politics involved with trying to get
that. The
opioid
crisis, the mental health crisis that he deals with every day. I mean, the stuff that he's at the cutting edge of this Democrat or Republican. And if we don't get to the bottom of the issues the sheriff faces every day, we're kind of not going to ever get out from behind the
eight ball. And I can't emphasize enough to you. The amount of assistance and help I've gotten from people who are truly, I mean, lifelong Republicans is amazing. When we decided to put a program together to teach guys how to cook, so they had a skill when they left because the restaurant industry said that they needed people. So I said, okay, let's match this up.
Sure.
I had Ron Gidwitz walk in with a check for $16,000, gave it to us to buy a pizza oven so these guys could make pizzas.
Great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And he has more of his – he always tells me, he goes, Tom, I love working with you. You guys get stuff done. I have friends lined up because we're going to buy – one of his friends is buying me one of those food trucks, and we're going to start selling it out in front of the jail because otherwise the food selection isn't the best there. And we're going to clean up because the food that we make in the kitchen there, Bruno Abadi is a big chef. He teaches these guys this stuff. It's ridiculously good.
Right.
Hey, Kevin Pa was out there last week. He told me that Bruno runs a pretty tight ship out there.
Oh, my God. He scares me. Even though he is wearing bright yellow scarves at the time, he still intimidates
you. Yeah. 60 Minutes piece, you and I were talking about this.
Yeah.
One of the things that came up, which is just amazing, and I really want the public to understand this. There's a constitutional right to a speedy trial. And you made the point in 60 Minutes that you have people who time out on the sentence they would have received mm-hmm. if they ever got to trial, and sometimes are even longer mm-hmm. before you're able to find them and release them, which is why weekly you go down, you talk to these guys, who's your lawyer, what are you working on, try to take some handwritten notes from these fellas and try to figure something out. What is the core problem there?
The core problem really is as straightforward is that this is a system, the criminal justice system, and it's thoughtless. It's bureaucrats at its best, where no one really has a defined purpose to sit there and say, we need to make this efficient. Everyone has their different roles. And so as a result of that, everyone thinks they're doing a fine job. And I can attest to you that they're not. There's great judges. There's great lawyers. There's horrible judges. There's horrible lawyers.
Right.
As Pat and I can tell you, we had the benefit in being in front of both spectrums where we had judges who just were the most passionate, hardworking people in the world. And then we had judges who would be done every day by 1 o'clock, gave everyone continuances, no skin off their nose. And then what ends up happening is these guys sit there and do you have people who plead guilty who didn't do it? You do, because, you know, it's common sense. If a lawyer walks in and says, listen, you can walk out today or we'll set it for trial in 3 months.
But who has jurisdiction over the judges? Because there ought to be a shot clock of some sort on processing these cases.
The chief
judge. That's so funny. I, for 9 years now, I have tried to do something that is outrageously revolutionary. It's called case management. Really shocking. And we as a county have spent $350,000 to have experts come in to tell us, use case management. To this day, we still don't use it, which is so simple. It says, listen, no case is going to always fit into the mold, but the majority of them, like a stolen car case, should take no longer than 9 months. A dope case, no longer than 6 months. And you put the time frames, and if a judge exceeds them, another judge intervenes and says, listen, you got to move it along, and if you don't do it within 30 days, we're going to give it to a different judge, and you use sort of peer pressure to move it along. They use it elsewhere. We should use it here. They've talked about it forever. They don't do it.
Does the Illinois bar oversee the judges?
No. It's just through the judiciary itself. It starts with the Supreme Court.
But who does a judge have to answer to? If you got a bad judge, who do they answer to?
Really no one. I mean, they don't.
Well, then
I mean,
how could this get screwed up?
Yeah, I know. I mean, they have a presiding judge who theoretically they report to, but that presiding judge can't unelect him. You're elected. And that's the thing I always found so disturbing is that when I get pushback from the judges, which, mind you, I'm not on their big top 10 list of people they love. Mm-hmm. The pushback I don't understand is that they, for all intents and purposes, they have a lifetime appointment. They come up every 10 years for retention. And I think in the last 30 years, out of like thousands and thousands of them that have been up for retention, I think there's been one or two that have not been retained. So with a lifetime appointment.
Right, because if you have an Irish name and I walk in, I don't know you, I haven't done the research, and how do I know if you're good or bad? Well, you got an Irish name, yeah. You're probably okay.
Yeah, so you would think these would be some of the most innovative, hardworking people, and you have some of them are just like that. They're everything you want in a judge. But then you have these other ones, and I always said it's so unfair to the good judges that they're all treated the same because they know they've got some people there that just don't care.
We got to take a break. Hang around a second. I also want to ask about Chris Kennedy's announcement yesterday about a running mate before we run out of time here. Eric, I'm going to throw the Chris Kennedy question generally in your area. We'll come back in a moment. More with Pat Brady as well. And Sheriff Tom Dart on 720 WGN. Mayor Tom Dart, Eric Edelstein, Pat Brady, Andrea.
Sheriff, any mayoral aspirations? Any plans for any higher office future?
Would you like to announce right now?
Office other than sheriff.
Yeah. No, you know what? I am happily running for re-election for sheriff right now, and I honestly I don't know what I'm going to do down the road. I really like being sheriff, and we got a lot of really good things in play that I want to finish, so I'll see. It's just it's tough enough with this job to balance that with the children and being a good dad, and I just don't know if some of these other jobs allow me to be a good dad.
Not a definite no,
but I, you know, am far from, honestly, God, see, the thing I have a hard time with trying to explain to people, unlike other people, my life would be very happy if I got out of politics tomorrow. I won't feel any regrets, and I won't feel like, you know, I missed this opportunity. I'm just not, like, as ambitious as some other people are that my life has to have this job or that title. And otherwise,
that's a good mayoral campaign slogan. I'm not that ambitious.
I'll do it if you make
me. If you want.
Yeah. Eric Edelstein, Chris Kennedy announced his running mate yesterday. He is.
Today he's announcing it. It was
we found out yesterday.
Rod Joy, yeah. Who is executive director of Change Illinois. He's someone who grew up in Evanston, played football at SIU in Carbondale, lives in Bronzeville. Been part of really a political activism that is to change the status quo. A lot of the stuff that Sheriff Dart works on, get rid of the unfair maps, work on, which they just passed, the automatic voter registration, and really has been someone who's been outspoken across the state for the kind of structural change that Chris has talked about. Unfortunately, and Chris has known him for about 10 years, unfortunately, they are also members of a club no one ever wants to be a member of. Ra lost his son to gun violence over the summer. a kid that was in college, had gone to Whitney Young, and was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I think they had bonded a little bit out of the shared loss of that, which sadly thousands and thousands of families in this state have experienced. So
Ra's a great, great guy. I know people aren't going to vote for lieutenant governor when right. they necessarily go to the ballot.
You know
box,
him,
but
under-
he, I do. Yeah, he's been on the program before.
Yeah.
He's great.
But yeah.
I like him as well.
Will he resonate, you think, with downstate voters?
I do. I mean, look, he went to SIU. He played football in Carbondale. I mean, he's a guy who's lived suburban. He's lived on the south side. He's lived in southern Illinois. I think he's got a compelling story. And look, a lot of these issues, you know, we sort of divide the state and say, well, this plays up here, this plays down there. The issues of poverty, the issues of crime, the education reform, the need for jobs, the need for structural political change. It's true across the state, not just in one region.
So, moderates and independents, Pat, do you feel the same way?
I think Kennedy's still the draw downstate. He's wildly popular south of I-80.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of ways, I think people don't vote for the lieutenant governor. Right, you obviously right. want somebody who can do the job. With, you know, we've seen in Illinois that sometimes the governor ends up not as the governor.
What?
Yeah, I know. Shocking. by the way, how good did he look on the front page of the paper?
He looks fine. Let me tell you something. Prison life agrees with Rod Blagojevich.
You know, I knew it would, too.
He's using my gray hair dye.
It's unbelievable.
He's a pig in a poke. I mean, he looks
fantastic. He looks like all bets are off. The pressure's off. But there are nights where he sits in his cell and went, really? Trump? you know he's thinking that. Pat Brady, where do you work?
Next Generation Strategies. Thank you.
And Eric Edelstein from?
I work at AL Media.
Sheriff Tom Dardis, your Cook County Sheriff, and he will be the guest where and when?
Lincoln Forum, lincolnforum.org, next Thursday, the 21st, 5:30, Chicago Athletic Association. Come.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it will be fun.
Yeah. I'm going to be there. Can I get a ticket?
You got to pay.
No, you can come with me if you want, Steve.
Okay, because I didn't think you'd have a date.
Brady gets a plus one.
He does?
It's a first.
And I hope he likes what I'm wearing. And Sheriff Dart, thank you for being here, and thank you for the work you continue to try to do and the work you do every day.
Thank you so much, Steve, for being
Appreciate
here.
It. All right, back with the news next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
If you're in the Keys, you've seen the pictures. The trailer parks, I mean, it's like everybody just tipped everything over.
We still have no cell service. We still have no electricity for most of the Keys. They expect in Key West it'll probably take a week to 10 days to get all the electricity in all the neighborhoods of Key West. But it could take as long as a month to get electricity throughout the rest of the lower Keys. There are about 200 electrical poles down there.
They're still looking for survivors and, unfortunately, people who just did not make it because the storm, obviously so powerful, this area was so hard hit. They'll be doing that throughout the rest of the week, it looks like, and residents are still being kept out of certain areas of the Florida Keys.
He's one of the most recognizable faces, names, and voices in the Keys. He's Bill Hobie, who is, I'm sure, bewildered like everybody else is, but leading the way to try to get Florida Middle Keys and Lower Keys residents back to their lives. How long is it going to take? Let's get Bill on here. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Steve. Thanks for calling, man.
I appreciate you being on. Tell everybody where you work.
I work for Florida Keys Media on in the Lower Keys on Whale 99.5 and in the Upper Keys in Miami on Sun 103.1. And we're actually live on the air on two of our stations right now by a miracle. I mean, our other station is in Sugarloaf Key, and that's right where the eye went over next to Cudjoe Key. And the tower remained up, and we're on by generator.
Wow.
I think you know how much heat these radio equipment puts out. It's like 150 in here right now. So
I bet, yeah. And what about you and your family or your people? Did you guys come through it okay?
No one can get into Key West unless you're a first responder. I saw a picture of my house. Part of the roof is also. That should provide a nice breeze in this Africa-like heat down here. Whenever I can get back down there.
So we knew it would be bad. We didn't know it would be this bad. And when you look at the damage upstate, as we would call it in New York, where I grew up, but Jacksonville and Bradenton and places like that, or even into Georgia. I mean, yeah, it's really bad, but it's nothing like what you guys are dealing with. So with two lanes coming in and two lanes coming out, what's a realistic perspective on how long this is going to take to fix?
Well, Steve, basically, the engine that kind of drives the machine of the Florida Keys, Key West, amazingly, it wobbled away from that. But a real concern, I mean, of course, getting people up and getting back to normal. But since we closed down the steel mills and the tire factories, we kind of rely on the tourism thing. So getting the people back to be able to serve people and the hotels back and getting people to come back down here is our biggest concern.
Bill, we saw the pictures of the military choppers flying in trying to bring supplies. And I know, actually, I think the Green Parrot was one of the few places that actually you can get a hotspot or you can talk on the telephone. Are you seeing more reports of that? You know, people either opening up their businesses or their homes, that the ones that are standing, and just saying to people, hey, come on in, take refuge here. Anything we have is now yours if for the time being.
I would say yesterday, probably 300 people came to the station. We have two active landlines, and we let people call, you know, their loved ones and let them know that they were okay, and people would bring something and or take something. Yesterday we had a story where a lady was on. She's recently widowed. Most of her roof got blown off. She asked if anybody had a tarp. Within 3 minutes, a guy came with a tarp, and then another guy, a contractor, came and took her to her house and installed the tarp for her. And there was 100 stories like that.
You did the afternoon show, right?
Well, in the Florida Keys, the morning show is the afternoon show.
Well, yeah, I suppose so, right? But my point being, how long have you been on the air in the last few days?
I've been on for 26 hours straight right now.
Right, right. Because you know what? This reinforces what we know. If you have access to anything communication-wise and can get radio, I don't know if you guys stream on the internet as well.
It's, of course, off because of...
Yeah, that's my point. But this is where a good old-fashioned radio with batteries might come in handy.
CDs. We're using CDs. We went back to the 90s, baby.
Well, I'm telling you, and we salute what you're doing and feel for you. But, you know, this question of what do you need, are you seeing mostly Red Cross help, or how do people help that are listening?
You know, the Red Cross dropped a bunch of stuff off, and they are coming back in. FEMA is in. The USS Iwo Jima is 7 miles off the coast of Key West with a hospital on it, and they're taking helicopters, and two more Navy carriers are on the way. But unfortunately, about 10,000 people stayed. I had seen what I've been on the air for 20-some hurricanes. You know, and normally radio stations are safe buildings, and they turned out to be again this time, but a lot of people didn't evacuate. There's a lot of mouths to feed down south, and there's no way for them, you know, a lot of them lost their homes. But Key West got hit the least of anything. It's really a humanitarian effort because Mother Nature was nice enough to make it like 95 on top of everything else for the recovery effort. But literally last night, I saw personally 200 trucks carrying equipment going into the Keys one after another, and that's why there's a curfew here. They actually are arresting people who are on the road after dark if they're not a part of the recovery effort. So
we've heard a lot of bad
to do their job.
Sure, we've heard a lot of bad stories about what's going on in St. Martin and things, and people kind of losing their minds. I don't think of a crime problem in the Keys, but you know, people do get desperate at times like this. What is there a concern about that?
Well, a lot of people that we've gotten phone calls from, because we left this request line open. A lot of people, you know, there's a lot of servers, and it's hard to make a living in the Keys. It costs a lot of money to live here. It's definitely a choice that you consciously make, but a lot of people are running out of money or can't get hotel rooms. There's still a lot of power out in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and West Palm in our direct area right here. So our biggest concern is getting the people in that want to get in. There is actually a huge campsite at mile marker 74 for people looking to get down into the Keys. And there's another one up in Homestead, parking lots filled with people that don't have the proper credentials to get in right now, but are waiting it out to try to get in to see what they can salvage or see if they can help in any way. And it's actually pretty heartwarming, man.
It's the Hobie in the Afternoon Experiment, weekdays 2 to 7, WAIL 99.5. What was the other station you mentioned that carries any other part of the Keys?
Sun 103.1 from the Middle Keys through Miami. That's where I'm at right now in the Upper Keys.
Sure.
Running on generator, baby.
Well, keep it up. Keep up the good work. Get some sleep at some point. I hope we can check back in with you. But I'm glad to hear that the attempt to help seems to be working. And I don't know. I wish we could do more. But certainly getting the word out is not going to hurt. But
Steve, you've done an amazing job. So did Ro. It turned out Roe, who does your nighttime show, I was on with him the other night. He has a house in Kajokee. So I'm going to try to check on that when I get back in. I will have a lot more information for you tomorrow. Feel free to call anytime.
All right, man. God bless. Hold the line. That's Hobie, as in Bill. And, you know, 26 hours, 24 hours in a row?
How about that? My gosh. And people coming to the radio station, there's only a very few number of places, like, of course, the station and the Green Parrot, that actually have cell phone service, a landline. So they're letting people come in and, you know, make phone calls and take what they need.
Sure. Batteries and a radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, flashlight, water. These are all things you need.
Yep, big time.
I had a dream. We were back to 17. Summer nights and the libertines never grow.
Secretary of State Lisa Madigan on the Equifax mess in just a couple of minutes is part of the big story. Let's do a couple of show business stories quickly here first. Music is from?
Selena Gomez.
What happened?
Very brave story. Over the summer, she was laying low, and here's why. She underwent a kidney transplant. Her best friend was the donor. She went online this morning, posted a picture of she and the donor, her best friend, laying side by side in hospital beds, holding hands, smiling. Selena saying that she's going public for a couple of reasons. She's very aware that some of her fans noticed that she was laying low, questioning online why she wasn't promoting her new music. So she actually found out she needed to get a kidney transplant. She says due to her lupus, she's recovering. It was what she needed to do for her overall health. She's going to share all the details soon about the journey, a kidney transplant, but again, wants to raise...
But we don't know why. We don't know what her condition was.
It was lupus. It was lupus.
Lupus led to this?
It was complications from her lupus. She said it's very misunderstood.
She wants
more information to be spread about lupus, and she wants everybody to go to the Lupus Research Alliance website. It's lupusresearch.org for more information on this disease that can be fatal, and in most cases it can be contained and helped and whatnot,
and
somewhat treated or kept under control.
Oprah's finally got a gig. Good to see her off the street.
Yeah, Oprah has a new gig. She is going to be a correspondent starting next month for 60 Minutes. She's going to be a special contributor. Right after the election, if you remember, she hosted a roundtable with female Trump and Clinton supporters and says she was inspired by the results of the conversation. And she said that's what she is meant to do, bring people together. She misses being kind of in an interview role. So she is going to be a correspondent on 60 Minutes starting next month.
Well, thanks for that. Dean's back tomorrow, and we're back with Lisa Madigan next on 720 WGN.
And, Steve, 5.4 million Illinois residents had their personal financial information exposed in the massive Equifax data breach last week. Those new numbers from Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan on Monday. She said that in addition to Social Security numbers, birth dates, addresses, and driver's license that were exposed in the breach, some individuals' credit card account numbers were also taken. And the Attorney General joins us on the phone line this morning. Good morning, General. Thanks for being with us. What do we do now?
Well, what you have to do now is you have to start actually making sure that you're protecting your credit and you're monitoring your credit and your financial accounts. Unfortunately, while this is probably the most significant breach that's taken place, it is certainly not remotely the first breach, and there's already a good chance that much of that information is out there in the hands of the wrong people. And so what I've encouraged people to do is, as I said, start taking monitoring your credit seriously. The best thing that you can do is actually put a credit freeze on your credit report. You can do that by contacting the three major credit reporting bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. What that does is it prevents somebody, particularly an identity thief, from opening up accounts without your authorization. The monitoring services, like the fraud alerts, some of those things are useful because they'll tip you off when something has occurred. But at that point, the damage has already happened. And so you're still going to have to go through the process of cleaning it up. So the best thing you can do is try to lock your credit down so it doesn't happen in the first place.
All right. Now, I went through this spring, before Equifax, and got talked through the process as well. I think it's important people understand you have to notify each of the bureaus individually. And in doing so, you have to make sure you get confirmation that your credit's locked. But we've heard complaints from folks saying, I've tried to do it online. I get kicked out. Obviously, these servers are probably overburdened when you're talking about 140 million people who all want to access it at the same time. What's the message there? Just don't give up?
The message is don't give up. You're absolutely right that right now, certainly Equifax, and I'm sure it's true for Experian and TransUnion as well, they're very overwhelmed because there has been an outpouring of demand, people who want to lock down their credit. But you really need to do it. There's nothing better that you can do to protect yourself. And nothing is 100%, so know that as well, which is why in addition to going through the process of putting a credit freeze in place, you also need to start doing things such as actually getting copies of your credit reports and looking at them, which you can do for free once a year from each one of the major credit reporting bureaus. If you stagger those, you can look at them every 4 months. You can also do some simple things on your credit cards and your debit cards. You can put alerts on there. So if somebody uses it and it's above a certain amount, you'll get a text message. You'll say, I was sitting here in a meeting. I didn't use the credit card. There must be something wrong. You can call and sort that out. So there's some simple things you can do. And let me say this, folks are always welcome. For over 10 years now, I've actually had an identity theft unit in the Office of the Attorney General, just based on the enormous numbers of people who have had to contend with identity theft. So we've helped well over 40,000 people remove nearly $30 million in unauthorized charges and things from their credit. So you can get on our website, which is IllinoisAttorneyGeneral.gov. There's an icon on our homepage that says Identity Theft Hotline. Call that phone number. We have humans who are doing their best to answer the phone because we're getting a high volume of calls as well. But also, if you click on that, there's a whole set of different things that we've published. There's an identity theft resource guide. There's a whole fact sheet on how to place a security freeze on your credit. But for right now, people need to know it's the best thing that you can do. If you're over the age of 65, if you're a victim of identity theft, or if you're an active duty service member, there's no charge to put in place that credit freeze. We're working to either have Equifax pay for all of those fees because it's $10 a piece otherwise, and or change the law here in Illinois. I'm already working with Representative Greg Harris to say that those credit freezes should be free for everybody at this point.
And your office is comfortable with the Equifax Security 2017.com website. We were on it yesterday, and I think a lot of people are a little bit maybe gun-shy of putting in Social Security number and cell phone number.
There you go. You were the people that lost it.
Yeah.
Why am I giving you more info?
Is it okay to do that?
I totally agree with you. I felt the same, but I finally on Monday said, you know, let's just give this a whirl. Let's see what happens. I put my information in, was told that I may be affected, and then I put in the last name Smith, 123456, and apparently if somebody has that last name and that number, they may be affected as well.
Right.
So I was a little disconcerted in the sense of, well, I don't know, maybe there really is somebody with that information, or maybe it just doesn't work. So, look, that's why I have defaulted to saying to people, whether it is the Equifax breach, and it is more than likely that your information was stolen based on those numbers here in Illinois, the 5.4 million, that's almost 55% of adults in the state of Illinois who've had their information compromised and stolen. So you just have to assume, again, whether it's this breach or it was one of the almost 1,000 that have occurred beforehand, your Social Security number is probably already out there, and there's probably other identifying information of yours that's out there. And that's why you just have to overall step back and say, I actually have to do a little work to protect my credit. Because one day I don't want to be denied when I go to, you know, get financing to purchase a car, or I try to rent an apartment, or I just need a loan for whatever reason. So, look, I think it's okay to put your information in that website. But I am not sure that you're going to get accurate information that you should make a decision with. What you should realize is that you are at much greater risk for identity theft, and you probably have been for the last, you know, 5 or 10 years, quite frankly.
Yeah, and Equifax, I agree with you. And my thought on this is the Equifax piece of this story is use that service and that system, but don't let that be the last. Still do what you just said. Go ahead and create the freeze with the other reporting agencies and monitor your credit cards and other things. And by the way, officially, it's a huge pain in the ass. That's a technical legal term, but I'm telling you. But you got to do it. You absolutely have to do it.
Steve, you're 100% right. My husband and I have had our credit frozen for years because I kind of thought it would be crazy not to practice what I preach.
Right.
And it's a big hassle because the first time we needed to access our credit, we couldn't find the PIN number. So people, yep, if you do it, don't lose your PIN number because that's a double hassle. And it costs, you know, if with all of them, you know, it's, if it's $30, you know, $30, and then you lift it, it's another $30. You want to put it back in place, it's another $30. So it's both a hassle and it can cost you some money, but at the end of the day, it's the best thing you can do. And if you do that, you can ignore it a little bit.
The last question before we end this, and we appreciate your time, obviously.
You're welcome.
But the Equifax piece, we've been told by people, also leads to, hey, would you like to buy this or that? I haven't gone deep enough to see that because I've already been on the frozen list. That's at least in poor taste if that's going on. But do you know if your office has looked into that? Because if people are victimized, Equifax shouldn't be asking for more money.
Right. Right. And so we are. And so understand they've obviously put in place some products that they are offering for free. But for instance, the freeze that they're offering for free is only with Equifax. And it's not with TransUnion and Experian.
Right.
And so, as you know, it's ineffective just on one and not the other two, potentially. And in addition, I think they've also got a credit monitoring product that they're willing to do for, I think it's a year. We did ask about this because there were some concerns early on that maybe after that first year they would start to automatically charge
right.
you if you didn't opt out. We've been told that is not the case. So, look, you should avail yourself, if you want to, of some of their product, and I don't think you should worry about that, and I think the terms of those may change a little, probably to people, you know, to our benefit, because we've been demanding more, but I think the biggest message, and Steve, it sounds like you totally agree, having gone through this,
yeah.
is you've got to do it. Yes, it's a bit of a hassle, but if you don't do it, then you're going to have a much larger and much more difficult mess yeah. to clean up.
Well said. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. Take care, everybody.
Thank you. That's Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan. And again, that website, EquifaxSecurity2017, all one word, .com, to find out if your data has been exposed.
All right. It's time for the Wing Dang Doodle. We're a little short on time, so we're dispensing with our big opening theme. And we're going to get right after it here with our picks. First, let me get Bill in here from Naperville today. Bill, if you would stand by just a second, Bill.
Okay.
I believe we're going to go to Kevin Powell at the BMW at Conway Farms as soon as Kevin's available. And then, Bill, just take a look at the NFL schedule. We're going to pick one game, and we're going to pick a final score. That's all we have to do. And I'll let you know if I agree or disagree, Bill, because, you know, I'm been told I'm in a bad mood today.
Oh, really?
I don't feel like I am.
Well, I don't think so.
Oh, be quiet, Bill. Hold on. Bill will be back in just a second. Let's go to Kevin now. Kevin Powell. Standing by.
That sounds more Wang Dang Doodle-ish.
At Conway Farms. Well, it's because Kevin's going to be a part of this as well.
Oh, I got it.
Morning, Kevin.
What's up, guys? I'm on the range. The golfers have taken to the range.
Yeah, I felt like the first segment went so well, we should have you back.
Shouldn't he be whispering?
No, you don't have to whisper on the range.
Oh, sorry. You just have to be home.
How annoyed would people be with golf if you had to whisper on the driving range? Even more so than now. All right, who's hitting in front of you now?
I've got Zach Johnson in front of me. I've got Ian Poulter in front of me. I got Patrick Reed in front of me. A whole bunch, about 10, 15 golfers in front of me right now.
If you go out to the driving range, it's a good place to see these guys hit. And they have convenient name signs on their hitting stations. So you'll be able to go, is that Dustin Johnson? Yes, in fact, it is. Dustin hitting the driver? What's he hitting?
He's not out here yet.
Oh, I
not see.
See.
Dustin Johnson, yes. Yeah, most of them got out of here about 8. Lucas Glover was the first one out here, and then he was joined by Sung Kang. They'll be teeing off first. Zach Johnson's out here. So, I tried to give a few tips, and they just asked me to leave. So it didn't go so well.
If you run up to Zach Johnson and yell, Steve says hi, I'm sure you'll get a lot of cooperation.
Okay. Well, I think he's just about to walk to the first tee, so maybe when he walks past me, I'll give him some pointers and wish him luck.
You know, he's been in here. He and I were part of a team that won the Pro-Am a few years ago. So, you know, we're very close.
Yeah, he beat me in the putting contest in the showcase studio.
Yeah, I think that's the last time I talked to him. All right, so based on what you've seen out there, Kevin, how would you assess the situation? Do you have an early favorite?
As the early favorite, well, it's tough not to go with Jordan Spieth. I know you guys talked to Bones yesterday, and he talked about it not being a big hitter course, and it sort of feels that way, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a very narrow course, but it's not very forgiving. So I think accuracy is at a premium, and I'm leaning towards Spieth right now. I don't know if yardage and big, long drives are going to really give you a big advantage. But everybody's saying the course is not as soft as it was a couple of years ago.
No, fast fairways. So the little guys like Zach Johnson are going to get a lot of run on the ball.
That's right.
I got Justin Thomas. Dave?
Dustin Johnson.
Andre?
Jordan Spieth.
Okay. Sandberg?
Rory.
McIlroy or a different Rory?
McIlroy.
Okay. Mike?
I will go
Trevino?
Yeah, Lee Trevino.
Okay. All right. Good pick by you. And Vanderbilt?
I didn't know we were supposed to pick for this.
All right, good pick by you.
Jordan Spieth. I just picked first name I heard.
Mike, do you have an actual pick? You want to stick with Trevino?
I was going to go Palmer.
Palmer, Trevino?
I was going to pick Palmer.
Well, I'm sorry. Palmer's already been taken, Steve.
Tiger?
All right, so give us the list now. Kevin, I hope you don't mind, but we're going to make you the celebrity in this week's Wang Dang Doodle. Would you be willing to play?
Wow. Yes, I'm honored. Thank you.
Okay, all right. And Sandberg will give us the list. I assume you want to go with the listener first?
Yes, listener and Steve Cochran will pick first. Right. Listener is Bill from Naperville.
Let me go to Bill. All right, Bill, have you looked at the schedule?
Yes, I have, Steve.
What game are we picking?
We're going to try New England and New Orleans.
New England, New Orleans. This is going to be a good game. This could
How does
be,
that sound?
There'd be a lot of offense there, Bill. Could be big, big numbers.
Do we have a score, boys?
What's the final?
30-10, New England.
Boy, it seems like a lot, but New Orleans was a disappointment last week. Bill, can I change that just slightly?
Sure.
31-10, New England.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just want to feel like I was part of it. You know what I'm saying, Bill?
That's a good contribution.
All right, hold on, Bill. We have prizes for you just for playing our game. Who's next?
Our celebrity, Kevin Powell.
Kevin Powell. You're the celebrity pick. Last week's celebrity, Chuck Todd, I think finished second, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, so he did really well.
I feel the pressure now. I'm going to go the Chicago Bears, Mike Glennon against his former team, 21-17 over the Buccaneers.
All right, he did it inside of the 10 seconds before the explosions go off. Who's next?
Dave Bennett and John DeCoste, and John DeCoste is not on the phone
today. He's undergoing some testing. We believe right now Rorschach blots are being held up in front of him.
Oakland Raiders 30, New York Jets 10.
30-10.
Wow.
It was the old Heidi game, the Raiders and the Jets.
It is.
Yeah.
So we'll never know how the game ends.
No, because they're going to pull the plug.
Put Heidi on.
Next.
Mike Jacobson and Mary Vandeveld.
Mike's got to do it today. My self-conscious is doing it.
All right.
Come on, Mike.
Well, that's not what we talked about in the pre-show
Yes, it
meeting.
Is.
Where's the
Get
clock?
With the program.
Well, I was too busy making breakfast for Steve.
All right, I'll spit it out.
In.
Pittsburgh over Minnesota, 28-24.
Wow. Wow, how about that?
I got
that?
You self-conscious.
I don't know what. I don't know why they got buzzed.
I feel like the timer should have gone off there.
Yeah, or at least started.
I don't even think next.
Our news department, Andrea Darlis and
all
Steve
All right,
Krasanich.
Steve. It's all you, buddy.
You got it. Yeah, I'm going to wave to you. You've got it.
Uh-oh. Time is running
Oh, it's mine?
Yeah. Yeah, you got it.
Ravens over Browns, 24-17.
There you go.
Nice job. Cool as a cucumber,
there you go,
too.
Go, Krasanich. Woo!
Cool as, you agree with that, Steve?
I do, absolutely.
We got our fingers ready to go.
We got our number one fingers ready.
You know, the foam.
And finally?
That's final.
Oh, then
Woo!
We're done. I thought Bill's pick was really strong. All right, so that's Bill from Naperville. We have all the picks now. We'll put them in the Wang Dang Doodle machine, and we'll find out if Dave Bennett will be unseated after his win last week.
I stepped out there this week. I mean, I took a 20-point spread.
Yeah?
This could be a rough week
for
me.
Yeah, well, look what Bill did. Crazy Bill from Naperville.
Is there any way we can get a review on the clock on Mary and Mary there?
No, I don't see it happening.
Because the clock was
Agreed.
Never started on Vanderbilt.
Wasn't started. I fell through. I was there.
Yeah, she really did. She stepped
I
up nicely.
It.
I'm just about everybody getting along. You know me. CLTV joins us next. Stand by. This is 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
My wish for you is that this life becomes all that you want it to. Your dreams stay big, your worries stay small. You never need to carry more than you can hold.
912, I swallow hard every time I hear that song. Steve Cochran Show as we continue. Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio and here on CLTV with special guests in the studio. My new pal Jasper's here. And Make-A-Wish. Listen, the Walk and Run event is coming up on October 1st, and it's Lauren, correct?
Yes.
Lauren Jernigan?
Good to see you again.
Nice to see you. Before we meet the family here and talk a little bit, let's plug the walk. October 5th, or 1st, Bussy Woods?
Yes, so we're going to be back at Grove 5, Bussy Woods,
right.
So the corner of Arlington Heights and Higgins Road.
Plenty of free parking, kids.
Yes, come on out. You can just show up at 9 o'clock. Registration opens, and our opening ceremony is at 10. We've got our Wish Village happening again, so lots of fun activities for the family, bounce houses, magicians, music, really featuring a lot of our Wish kids along the route, so... would love to have everyone in Chicagoland come out and just be a part of this fun, family-friendly day. It's open to our Wish families as well as our volunteers and as well as the entire community. So it's not just you have to be part of Make-A-Wish already. You can come and learn more and just come have a fun day.
Sign up how?
You can sign up at walkrunwish.org and click on the Chicago link. There's
good,
an icon
good,
there.
Good, good, good. We got a family here in studio who knows the beauty of Make-A-Wish. Claire D. is the mom. Jasper D. is the rock star. Claire, let me start with you. You guys had the great joy of coming to know the Make-A-Wish people. And frankly, it's an organization you never want to know. But when you do get to know them, you find out how beautiful this whole thing is.
Indeed, yes. So Jasper, when he was four, was suddenly diagnosed with leukemia. The treatment program was 3.5 years. When you're four, that's a lifetime.
Sure.
He had chemo every day, 1 to 3 tablets a day, or IV or spinal chemo for 3.5 years. So.
And you get the nausea, you get all the things that a kid should never have to deal with.
You do. He blew up with steroids. Sometimes that helped on the soccer field. Sometimes it didn't.
Right.
But yeah, he was pretty much down in the dump. 7 months of intensive chemo takes you lower than you ever want to see your child go. Friends, family, teachers, church were talking to us about Make-A-Wish. And we said, no, we don't want to do that. We don't want a handout. We don't want charity. We don't need that. And then a friend pulled me aside and she said, look, guys, it's not about you. It's about Jasper. Jasper has spent hours of his young life in hospital, struggling with his chemo, feeling dreadful.
All the stuff he shouldn't have to deal with. He's a kid.
Exactly. Exactly. So this was a bright light on the horizon for us. And so
it's one of the greatest things about Make-A-Wish, that reminder that you just said. It's not about your mom and dad. It's about what Jasper wants and what any kid wants in this position. Now, Jasper, a friend here, and by the way, you can see this on Facebook Live, and this, of course, would be part of Jasper's, as we call it in show business, sizzle reel, as he goes out and chases a show business career. But Jasper is in fourth grade. Is that right, Pal? Yeah.
Yes,
and you're 9 years old?
Yeah.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
A mechanical engineer, but...
Where does that?
A mechanical engineer, but a pet store owner.
Oh, you love pets. Do you have one?
Two.
What do you have?
Cats.
What are the cats' names?
Scooby is mine. Twilight's my sister's.
Scooby? Like Scooby-Doo?
Yeah.
Excellent. Does he have a van? Because as
no.
You know, cats shouldn't drive. I think we've had this talk. Well, that's great. I love that. And why a mechanical engineer? Where does that come from?
Because I like building robots.
Nice. Yeah.
And
you know, Dave's a robot. He's not actually a real person.
That's he's kidding.
Honestly, Jasper, wouldn't a robot say that to cover the fact that he's a robot? So you're going to be a mechanical engineer that maybe builds cool robot stuff?
Yeah, like Transformers.
Come on.
Jasper's going to be our boss in a couple years so let's just get used to that.
So what do you remember about when you first got sick? Do you remember obviously your mom and dad and the doctors and stuff taking care of you, but do you remember just being miserable most of the time?
Yes, especially my sister, because I got diagnosed on her birthday, and it took a few weeks for them to actually find out what it was.
So you were worried about upsetting your sister. You're a good big brother. I asked you about that before, and you said, I'm not sure. You sound like a pretty good big brother to me.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, sure, of course. And now you like to play soccer and do everything. Because I got to say, man, you look great.
Thanks.
You feel good?
Yeah.
Here's the Make-A-Wish part of this. And I love hearing these stories. But I got to tell you, I'm right on the edge here, so keep an eye on me. There's nothing like the magic of Christmas. Mm-hmm. And you love Christmas, right?
Yeah.
So tell everybody what your Make-A-Wish was.
To go see Santa at the North Pole.
To actually meet Santa Claus.
Yes, the real deal.
Not the guy at the mall that's on Santa's payroll, the guy working on the team. Because, by the way, great, they're all on Santa's payroll. That's great. Santa can't be everywhere during preparation season. But you wanted to meet Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And so what happened?
So they came to, the Wishmakers came to my house and asked, where do you want to go for your trip? And I said, to see Santa at the North Pole.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, in case we can't do that, what's the backup plan? I said, to go to Legoland with the water park.
But you ended up, as I understand the story, and Claire, jump in here, to Rovaniemi. Is that
Rovaniemi?
Rovaniemi, in northern Finland.
That's right. Yeah. So we were on the Arctic Circle line.
So,
which was amazing.
And the reason you were there is because, well, that's pretty close to the North Pole.
That's where Santa's office is. Nobody knows where Santa lives, but that's his official office.
All right, so you go in, you see Santa Claus. What's he look like? Does he look like the pictures we see?
He has a really, really long beard.
Like how long? Like tall as you? Probably back then as tall as you, right? Really?
About twice the size.
So could you touch his beard? Would he let you like feel?
You sat on his lap, didn't you?
Yeah.
No
and
kidding.
We got a picture with him, and I brought my favorite stuffed animal, and so he might bring it to life and put some magic on him.
How cool is that?
Did you get to see the workshop, too? Where
yeah.
You got to see where all the
Come
toys
on.
Are made?
And like,
that's so cool.
We went to the cookie shop where they where you got to make a cookie. I saved it in my pocket for several days. And
Wait, you kept the cookie in your pocket for several
yeah.
days?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I took it out whenever I was hungry and bit into it.
How cool is that?
Best cookie
Which is
ever.
Great when you're germ watching.
It's the best cookie right. ever. That's all that was. And did you and Santa talk a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. I gave him my Christmas list and a friend's Christmas list.
I know it sounds a little weird, but did he bring me up at all? Did he mention my name?
Mm-mm. No, you might not be on the nice list.
Doesn't bode well for this year.
He didn't
year.
Know you no. then, Steve. I'm sure he would have.
No, I don't mean Jasper bringing me up.
No,
I know. Santa might bring him up
but
to Jasper.
Jasper didn't
hey,
know
if you.
You
ever meet Steve, that kind of thing.
But Jasper, that's so cool. I've never interviewed Santa Claus.
No, neither have I.
I don't think any of us have ever met Santa Claus.
How cool was that trip, buddy?
And we met really his reindeer cool. as well.
Come on!
We had a sleigh ride.
Yeah.
Oh, that is fantastic. Now, what time of year was this?
We went 10th of December.
So was there snow on the ground?
Yes.
Of course, there's always snow on the ground.
So the way kids get around in Rovaniemi is on a sled. So you put them on the sled, you pull them down the street, and that's how you go from A to B. We took them to a museum on the sled. The river was frozen over, so we did skidooing. And that's how we got to the husky dog ride. So we took a ride through the forest.
What about elves? Did you see elves?
We did.
Yeah,
we went to the
few.
Elf school, didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. And
I mean, they were
cool.
probably working. Did you see like a shift change or something?
No. They actually made a desk, put bubbles out, make bubbles squirt out.
Oh,
cool.
No kidding.
A bubble squirting desk.
How about that?
They awesome. Went banged on it. They said it wasn't working, so they banged on it.
And then more bubbles came out?
They talked about it, and the bubbles started shooting out.
How cool, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
What a fantastic trip.
So for us, it was amazing. It was halfway through Jasper's treatment cycle. So 3.5 years was a very long time. And it got us over the bump in the middle. It gave us something to look forward
and
to.
And I'll bet you felt really terrific because, you know, when your heart's happy and all that, you feel better overall, don't you?
Yeah. There was also a really cool Angry Bird park. And there was an Angry Bird thing. You got to play Angry Birds. You could shoot Angry Birds at piggies.
I mean, come on. Why wouldn't you want to do that? This was 2013, Mom?
This was 2014.
14.
Yeah.
So that's 3 years ago. So you'd have been six. Like the coolest six-year-old ever.
Oh, my God. It probably a trip you will remember forever.
I mean, no
yeah.
doubt.
Well, he came back and he said, can we do the same thing next year? But
the stories of what Make-A-Wish does every day are absolutely amazing. And, you know, without folks like Jessica Miller and Lauren Jernigan, we wouldn't be able to pass this information on to you. Jessica, lean in there if you can. Nice to see you. How are
Hello.
You? I love hearing this.
We are very fortunate to be able to hear stories like Jasper's every day. Jasper's is exceptional because not many kids have asked to meet Santa Claus. But we love to hear that it really makes a difference while they're going through the thick of whatever illness they're living with.
I can't imagine a job where there's less burnout. Because every day you see these kind of miracles happen. It's got to be fantastic for both of you, for everybody there.
It's wonderful. I mean, it takes a whole community to make a wish happen. Jasper's wish granters are volunteers who live near where he lives with his family. And they were the ones who were one-on-one, listening to what he wanted to do and helping him formulate what the plan was to have his wish granted and help keep him excited until it happened. So it takes everybody to make wishes come true.
What an amazing story. And that's what, you know, obviously the funds from the walk are a part of that. There's events that go on all year long, but that's why the walk's really important, that everybody contributes as well. Andre, as much as you like the world travel, mm-hmm. I'm guessing Rovaniemi is now on your list?
I've never been there. That's just an amazing opportunity. Was it really cold? Did you have to bundle up with the
sweater? China, yeah. And it was a really long flight, six planes.
Well,
Did you like flying three there and three back?
Oh, wow. But you like flying in the airplane, though, right?
Eh.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, we're just, well, you're probably so excited you didn't even notice how long it was or how cold it was till you got back.
Yeah, we found out that I could sleep anywhere. I slept on a bunch of luggage. I slept on a couch. I slept on the floor. I slept in the plane.
It's funny you say that because, you know, you sound like your new friend Steve. Yeah. Can sleep anywhere. Really cool story, bud. And I hope you understand, because you're old now. You're 9. Yeah. But I hope you understand how important it is for you to talk about this as well, because what happens is you inspire other grown-ups to make sure they bring their kids out for this event as well. And you're still paying attention to your doctors, right?
Yeah.
Listening to mom and dad and your doctors?
Yeah.
All right. You know, that's the key.
Yeah.
It was magical. It just gave us the opportunity to be a family again, a normal family with the support of Make-A-Wish. Should Jasper be sick, we knew that we had backup to help us deal with any problem. But he was amazing. His health was great. The trip was wonderful. And we came back refreshed, reinvigorated, and ready to fight another 2 years.
Yeah. And again, he looks terrific. You know, I'm sure, you know, I've known many parents who are dealing with what you deal with. And there's that other shoe-dropping notion that sort of sits out there. But with a kid like this, you guys are going to be nothing but great.
Thank you.
And your little girl, too, who haven't met because you made her go to school today.
I gave her the choice. And she said Thursday is a great day at school. She wanted to go.
Wow, what a good kid. All right, well, let's get another plug-in for the walk. Ladies, if you would, October 1st.
Yeah, so October 1st at Bussy Woods, just go to walkrunwish.org and click the Chicago link, and that's where all the information you need is available. And even if you can't come out that day, we'd appreciate people considering donating. You can even be a virtual walker, so if you have something else planned that day, you can still get your friends and family involved by having a virtual team and participating that way. And all the funds go to help serve our kids in Illinois and help make their wishes come true.
And as I mentioned, and you guys do a nice job of this with the website, too, of letting folks know about events that go on throughout the year. But if you can't make it October 1st, certainly hope you'll make a contribution. But don't lose sight of the fact that there are things needed throughout the year. There's volunteers needed all the time. What else can we do for you?
Absolutely. Volunteers are needed all over Illinois. People can donate airline miles. You can participate. If you're not able to come into the walk, there are activities all over the state for fundraisers that are happening all the time. And you know, we're getting close. You know, it's a little early, but we're getting close to the holiday season. All this talk of Santa. There are a lot of corporate partners who support us as well. So if you visit our website, go through walkrunwish.org, you'll see all of the different opportunities to get involved in a number of ways, or even just following us on social media and sharing the stories like Jasper, so that people know that wishes really make a difference. It is a little bit of medicine that helps them get through. Through their illness.
Donating air miles is very simple and easy to do.
It's a cool idea. Why let them sit there and expire, right?
Absolutely, yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Yeah, and Jasper, now listen, I know I asked Jasper off the air if he was married. Apparently he's not. but at some point later on, you're going to meet a really nice girl, and your mom won't like her that much at first, but she'll get used to the idea. And eventually you'll get married, and you'll have kids of your own. And a really cool picture in my head is someday you take your kids on a trip to Rovaniemi. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. And another thing to add, one of my favorite foods there was reindeer.
Really?
Reindeer.
Yeah.
Like we eat beef here.
Oh. Yeah.
Is that right?
And it's awesome.
Is it good? Is it spicy?
Does it taste like really cold chicken?
Mm.
Oh, beef and lamb.
Yeah.
Well, that's fascinating on many levels. What do you want for Christmas this year? Do you know yet?
A MIP.
A what?
A MIP.
What's a MIP?
A robot with like... It can hold a tray, a small tray. It has two wheels. It looks like a person.
It's a good thing you're a nice kid, because if you went evil on us, you might take over the world. Use your powers.
Steve, we all want one of those too, by the way.
No, use your power. We need Jasper, as long as he's on our cyber fund. Use your powers for good and not evil.
Okay.
Nice to meet you, buddy.
Nice to meet you.
Pleasure
too,
having
Steve.
On the show. And you better give your mom a big hug. Right? I'm sure you do every day, but an extra one. And probably wouldn't hurt if you hug these two either. Thank you, Make-A-Wish, for everything you do. And thank you, Claire.
Thank you.
Appreciate the effort. All right, Jasper, thanks. Get off the show. It's 9:27.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Harry Carey back at Wrigley Field. Here's Ryan Sandberg to lead it off. Sandberg hitting 327 now. The pitch.
We got a little Benjamin Button thing going on, but first we sing. Baseball season's underway. Well, you better get ready for a brand new day. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today. They're singing Go Cubs, go! Such a great song. Always has been, always will be. Here's the Benjamin Button reference. You know, when Ryan Sandberg hit those home runs and Harry Carey was gone, he had a full head of hair.
Yes, he did.
Ryan Sandberg, as of today, if you're watching Channel 9 this morning, has a full head of hair again. I say we get him some pine tar and a Louisville Slugger and suit him up. Come on, man.
How about that?
We're turning the clock back. Are you ready to play or what?
Hey, looking like it. I'll say. Yeah.
So Ryan Sandberg has a new head of hair. I don't know who we thank for this or who you thank for this, but we saw your reveal on Channel 9 this morning. You look great.
Yeah, appreciate it. Restore here locally, and maybe everybody's seen the billboards with Brian Urlacher up there, but I'm one of their latest clients, and first procedure was April of 2016, and then the second one was November of 2016. So now it's been 9 months since that. So it has the full effect, and have my own hair and a full head of hair. Pretty cool.
Dave, I don't even know if you're equipped to talk about this, having your own full head of hair already.
I do. But I have to say, and Ryan, you didn't see me. I was in a restaurant. This is probably about a month ago, and you were sitting in a front table in the restaurant, and I said, he looks different. There's something a little different about him. Now it all makes sense.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I've witnessed. It's such a subtle change, and from November, and then 3 months later, 6 months, and then 9 months. It's such a subtle change that people. Make other comments. Look like you can still play. Oh, you look younger. What have you been doing?
That's my point.
Some weight. Whatever it might be, but they really could not identify what the difference was. But it's totally having more hair to play with. So it's been a fun process, easy process for me. So,
do they use pine tar when they're putting the hair back in?
No, no pine tar. No pine tar. That's illegal.
That's true.
Ryan, after Steve, seriously, I would have to say one of the best-looking grandpas. 8 grandkids you have now?
8 grandkids.
Wow, that's awesome.
10 years old. Yeah, 10 years old down to 7 months. And our 5 kids are now grown up. They're 33 to 38 years old now. So now doing the grandpa thing and staying young. And that was when it first dawned on me to even think about it, but it was the high visibility of Restore here locally in Chicago with billboards and then just thinking about that just slightly, but the grandkids could be so honest. It was it was in a swimming pool about a year and a half, 2 years ago, Pappy, you're going bald. That's supposed to melt my heart, but right. I think it took a little bit differently. And then the next thing I know, I had a consultation with Restore and met up with them and saw the process. A lot of the former clients, very recognizable to me around Chicago. And just looking at their testimonies and their results, I said, well, you know what? Why not? Why not? I don't want to be an old grandpa, so get to play the part as grandpa looking a little bit younger.
Why not?
Do the grandkids know how cool you are, or do they see you on a billboard and just think, oh, God,
they think I'm cool. Yeah, they think I'm cooler now because just this summer, now this is a year later, this summer I popped up out of the pool after jumping off the high dive, and one of the grandsons, 6 years old, said, wait a minute, Pappy, you have more hair. They noticed they saw the results, and I got the different reaction. So that one melted my heart a little bit more than the first one, which got me going. But, the grandkids joined with me at Wrigley Field doing the post-game show for the Cubs. They're often with me joining in all that.
Training them right with Cubby right, Blue.
Showing them the ropes, showing them Wrigley Field, and all the different vantage points, how lucky they are. And I think they actually know how lucky they are being able to see the sights and the scenes that they have gotten to see, especially the World Series last year. There's 20 of us in our family of 8 grandkids, but all of us got to go to at least one of the World Series.
How about that?
Either in Cleveland or Montreal. Got to enjoy that. And so now just keeping our fingers crossed with the way that this season is going, and the Cubs looking good the last 2 days. Swinging the bats much better, so it's all good.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they broke away here. But speaking of Cleveland, how about the Indians,
man?
How
about that? No, I can't imagine. I mean, 3 weeks of Major League Baseball in a row and not lose a game at the Major League level. I can't even fathom that, really. That's pretty remarkable. Hard to believe, but they're an improved team. They got a power bat named Carciacion, and he's giving them a lift. They fell short last year, so hungry, but... You know, I also appreciate what these young players and this Cubs team have gone through this year, not only what they did last year, but then to come back and have everybody aimed for them and have all the other teams improve to keep up with the Cubs and try and beat them. So I think this team has grown once again as young players, and they've had to deal with the year after, and there's a lot to that. So to see that they're in first place right now and having a couple good wins under their belt, I think they're doing great.
Andre is a child of the 80s, Dave, as you know.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I can picture you in the 80s going to games with your dad.
Oh.
Was Rhino your favorite Cub?
Hands down, my favorite Cubs. And when my aunt moved to California, she said she wanted me to keep in touch. You know, that was back in the day where you wrote letters and stuff, so I'd have to save all the clippings, you know, mm-hmm. which is pretty much every day when Rhino would do something, I'd have to send her the clippings in California.
But as a child of the 80s, did you and your girlfriends hang out and argue over who was going to marry Rhino?
I can't. He's on the phone.
Oh,
he's
married. I know. So, yeah.
He's a grandfather of 8, but yes.
Yes.
That's right.
Come on. Every young girl in the 80s did.
Appreciate that.
Rhino and Jody.
Those are some great years, great teams. Thinking back, 162 games on WGN, Harry Carey, Steve Stone,
sure.
The only game on up until 88, the only game on in the afternoon, during the day, and then 84, the fans coming out of the woodwork, and now you can't get a seat at Wrigley Field. But I'll never forget in 84, first week of September, as we're coming down the stretch, now there were no seats available, so I'll never forget getting ready to take the field, and my teammates, we look up from the dugout, and there's 3 guys standing on the rooftop. And there they are, and we're saying, wow, they can see the game from the rooftop.
Oh.
And so that was the very start of what has developed there. And,
come on, I didn't know that story. That's a great story.
Yeah, there was nobody up. There was nobody up there before. And even Billy Williams said he'd never seen anybody up there throughout his years.
That's wild. I did not know that.
Yeah, they didn't have those clubs up there before.
Yeah, they're all like mini stadiums. All right, 30 seconds, Dave. Okay,
well, real quick, you just mentioned Billy, Rhino, and you know, you always had Ernie and Billy and Ronnie Santo were always around when you were playing. Now you're around with these guys. Do you sense that the players now, these young guys, it's such a young team, are fully aware of what you accomplished and what your team accomplished to kind of lay the groundwork for what they've done here?
Well, I must say, when I went to the Philadelphia Phillies and managed there for a couple of years in a tough situation with not a very good team, as soon as I left there and came back, the middle of 2015, I came back, I went to Wrigley Field, and I had not met any of these players before, but the Cubs invited me to a couple, some games down the stretch and then postseason. But the first time that I stepped on the field there, Anthony Rizzo came over, Addison Russell came over. And then I was in spring training the very next year in uniform. But these guys, the whole team, very respectful of the players before them. And that's what I like about the character of this team. And no wonder that this was the group that it took to get the Cubs to win a World Series like last year.
Sure.
High character guys. And so I think they're tremendous with the fans. They do great charity work. The Cubs organization, but it's the players that do it, really give back to the community in so many ways.
Well, I think it's great that you took
– it's unbelievable.
I think it's great that you took today to reveal your new hair and announce here on the show that you're staging a comeback. Ryan Sandberg, first a new hair, next the uniform still fits. Don't be long. He's turning another double play and hit another home run. Buddy, congratulations. Have a great weekend, and thanks for being on.
I'll guarantee you one thing, I will be out at Wrigley Field. In uniform, well, that's yet to be seen, but I will be at Wrigley.
All right, and don't forget about Restore okay. If you'd like your man to have a little more hair on top of his head. Bill and Wendy next.